Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Gonzalo with Today in Bible Prophecy and History. Welcome to our show as we cover world events and light of biblical prophecy. Tune in here right after rapture of the church. Folks, it is great to be back with you for another broadcast. I am telling you, the week just flies by. And it just seemed like it was just yesterday when we finished our broadcast. And here we are once again on Today in Bible Prophecy Radio with August Rosado. And I want to thank each and every one of you for faithfully tuning in every single week and eavesdropping on our weekly current events and news events that we report to you. And as I give you my prophetic perspective on those news events, and folks, I'm telling you, our world is a mess. I'm not telling you anything new on it. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but our world is such a mess. Mankind is a mess. And even unfortunately, the church today is also a mess. I cannot believe. I mean, I got saved in 1988, folks. And actually, April 22nd, 1988. And what I see going on now in the church and amongst Christians is not what I saw 27 years ago. There is much, I mean, I'm talking, folks, so much heresy and so much apostasy in the church. And a lot of this is coming from these tele-evangelists and these mega church guys that you see all over these Christian TV networks today. And, you know, I put on my Facebook page Joel Osteen, and he made one of many crazy statements. But this one, he said, I'm not willing to waste my time and effort if nobody is going to appreciate my gift. Well, that would contradict the words of Jesus Christ when he said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Jesus never promised that people are going to welcome you with open arms when you share the gospel with them. Jesus never told you that people will invite you into their homes and offer you a cup of coffee when you go in there with your Bible wanting to share the gospel with them. No, Jesus said that you'll suffer persecution over this. Does that mean we take Joel Osteen's advice and say, well, I'm not going to deal with such people because they don't appreciate me? Jesus said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, when I posted his comment on my Facebook page, I couldn't believe how many Christians ran to his rescue. One liberal Christian said, oh, August, you're just jealous of his success. Let me tell you something. This has nothing to do with success. It has everything to do with preaching right, everything to do with preaching Bible doctrine. It has everything to do with winning souls to Jesus Christ in these last days. And I really, really get sick and tired of hearing this garbage come out of the mouths of Christians. You're probably saying, well, you seem pretty upset about it. Yeah, folks, it's not only is it upsetting, but it's discouraging when you see people in the church react this way. You even got evangelicals who are now saying that homosexuality, there's nothing wrong with it. The Bible doesn't really condemn it. This is, folks, exactly where we're going. We see the church today, by and large, falling head over heels into apostasy. And I believe that there are only a handful of Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, solo Christians today who are still willing to stand up in this anti-Christ, godless society that we live in today and still stand on the truth of God's holy word. Folks, it's a mess. It's a mess everywhere. It's a mess outside the church, and it's a mess in the church. We need to stand on the authority of the holy word of God. Even if it means you and I got to take one on the chin, we need to be faithful and to learn to live holy, righteously, and godly in this wicked, sinful, evil world. People tell me all the time, Brother August, I'm so discouraged with the church. I'm so discouraged with this world. Why doesn't Jesus just come back? And I wish I had an answer for that. I know he is coming back. I don't know the day and the hour, but I know he's coming back. And all I can tell such people is simply this. Don't keep your eyes on man, because man will always fail you. Man will always lie to you. Man will always deceive you. I don't care if they call themselves a pastor. I don't care if they call themselves a Christian. I don't care what they call themselves. Whether saved or not, man will always fail you. But God will never, ever fail you. He's faithful. He will always be faithful. And he always is on his throne. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurred to God? Nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing. And even though our nations of this world, our very own country is out of control, yet Jesus Christ is always in control. He is always on, maybe not the throne of the kingdom right now, but he sits on the right hand of the Father. And he will one day come back, folks, and call his bride out of the world. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, I don't know. But given the world situation right now, folks, it's ugly. It's rotten. It is a mess. You can't watch anything on TV anymore because of the wickedness, and everything is just perverted with sexuality. The music that's even played on radio today, even Christian radio stations, the music that's being played on there is just, it's atrocious. Why? Because we're looking for something to feed the flesh, not feed the spirit. And I went through that, folks, when I first got saved in 1988. I was introduced to Christian heavy metal rock music. And you know something? I found no different from the secular heavy metal rock music I was listening to. I was still air guitaring. I was still whipping my head back and forth. I was still air drumming. I wasn't feeding my spirit. I was feeding my flesh. I don't care what the lyrics said. Christian heavy metal music was still feeding my flesh. Until one day my pastor approached me and he said, August, check out this. Well, there weren't CDs, there were cassette tapes. Check out this cassette tape right here. Put it in, and you listen to it. And while you listen to it, you let me know what music puts you in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. If it's the Christian so-called heavy metal rock music, you stay with that. If it's this music, then you stay with that. One or the other has to go. So I took my pastor up on his challenge. And when I started listening to this godly music, it put me in tune with Jesus Christ. It put me in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. And I fell in love with it. And that's all I can ever listen to right now. Because it's feeding my spirit. It's not feeding my flesh. And so, folks, we need to live in a manner that we know will be pleasing to the Lord. I would go to a restaurant, I'd see Christians at the bar, right after Sunday school. People that I know at the bar, drinking after Sunday school and after the church service, and then they would see me in the distance, and then they would try to hide themselves behind the bar, as if I didn't see them. I see even on Facebook, Facebook is a stomping ground for fleshly Christians. You see the pictures they post, the language they use, spotless. But folks, this is where it's coming down to today. And we need to separate the spiritual man from the fleshly boys. I know that sounds ugly. It sounds harsh. But we got to do something, folks. I know I'm pretty much chasing a rabbit today, but, you know, I'm really tired of what I'm seeing. And it's time that we start speaking up. Whether we're hated for it or not, it's time we start speaking up. I'm glad you tuned in to the program today because I'm not going to come to you today with a news event, but I'm just going to simply come to you today with Bible Prophecy 101. And so I hope you have a pen and paper. Because at the end of the broadcast, I'm going to recommend a book and a school that you can attend either, well, actually, you can only attend it online. But I would really recommend this one particular school. Because this will give you good, wholesome Bible prophecy. Good, wholesome eschatological doctrine. And folks, when it comes to prophecy today, there are just extreme whack jobs out there. I mean, my brother-in-law posted on his Facebook page, I can't believe that this guy is denying that the rapture will happen. And then I give him my say on that. Some other guy comes out of nowhere and says, oh, yeah, I don't believe in the rapture. This guy says he's a Christian. I don't believe in the rapture. The rapture is a doctrine that is coming under serious attack today. Not by the world, not by unbelievers. It's coming under attack by Christians, evangelical Christians. Something's wrong with that picture. Seriously wrong. The doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture is coming under serious attack. You notice when the devil doesn't like a doctrine, you know it's true. And we know that when you see a doctrine that's coming under serious attack, you know there has to be something to that doctrine. The devil ain't going to waste his life on a false doctrine. But man, he's going to focus on trying to destroy true doctrine. That's the reason why the doctrine of the rapture and the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture is under such serious attack within the church today. That's the reason why I'm going to do, folks, this Bible Prophecy 101. And so I hope that when you're listening that you're writing notes, that you are taking down notes. Because I want you to get good, wholesome Bible doctrine. because there's just so much nonsense that's out there today. And we need to determine what is right doctrine and what is false doctrine. And so I'm also going to take a few questions today. If I have you as a Facebook friend, then you can send me a question under the of Facebook. And so I hope that you would go ahead and do that. Or if you wish and you want to be on the air, then what you can do is call the toll-free number, 877-659-8944. 877-659-8944. Tomorrow, I'm going to be in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and I'm going to be preaching at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Pastor Day is a good friend of mine and the pastor of this church, and we are looking forward to being with him. We're just going to be there for Sunday morning. We might possibly have a special afternoon service, but we will be there. And so if you live anywhere in the Lawrence area and you want to know how to get there, then go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Click on my calendar of events, and it'll show you exactly where we're going to be at. And you can also join us there as we look at God's prophetic word in light of current events. So I hope that you will join us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lawrence, Massachusetts, where I will be preaching on Bible prophecy. Next Sunday, I am going to be preaching at Faith Chapel Independent Baptist Church in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And then the following Monday, right after that service, I'm going to be leaving for Israel with that same church. Yes, going back to the Holy Land. We were just there February 25th to March the 7th. Also went over into Jordan for Petra. And next Monday, I'll be flying to Israel again. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And then in July, I'll be in Israel again for 18 days with Dr. Todd Baker and myself, just two of us, no group, no touring, no sightseeing. We're just going there to share the gospel with the Jewish people. So would you please keep that in prayer? And folks, we can really use your financial support and help on that. And so if you would like to help us out with that, then send me an email, august.todaybibleprophecy@gmail.com. And I'll let you know exactly what you can do to help us in this gospel outreach to the Jewish people in June. So I hope and pray that you will be able to help us out with that. What I want to do right now is get into Bible Prophecy 101. Now, folks, Bible prophecy is 33% of the Bible. From Daniel chapter 1 to to Revelation 22, from Daniel chapter 1 to Revelation 22 is 33% of the Bible. It is 400 of the 1,189 chapters of the Bible that deals with prophecy. Folks, we are talking about a fourth of the scriptures that deal with this very subject. So it's very important to God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 tells us there is a blessing for those who study this subject that takes up one-fourth of God's word. It is to be studied and not doubted and debated. That's what Christians say and prophecy teachers, that's all they want to do, is they want to debate, 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 or doubt this or doubt that in prophecy. Rather than taking God's word for its plain sense, literal meaning, Bible prophecy today is nothing more than doubted and debated. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Bible says, blessed, fortunate are those who read the book of Revelation and keep those things, live those things, obey those things. Why? Because the time is at hand, the time of the coming of Jesus Christ at the rapture. Prophecy is not to be doubted and debated. It is to be read and lived. Not only is there a blessing for those who study Bible prophecy, but there is also a warning to those, a warning to the church not to neglect this subject, which is the case today in many churches. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You can take it to the bank. Sure. It's true. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed. You better take heed to it. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and day star rise in your hearts. It's not to be doubted and debated. It's to be obeyed and lived. This is the foundation, folks, for studying Bible prophecy. It is sure and it encourages holy living and evangelism. When we fail to study prophecy, then we rob ourselves of the doctrine of the blessed hope. And, folks, that is the attitude of a lot of pastors in many churches today. We don't want to waste our time with this subject. That's for the so-called experts. That's for those who have such a firm grasp on it. That's not for us. Well, last time I remembered, the book of Revelation is in the Bible. And if you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to grow spiritually. Either the Bible is going to keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. That's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christians today, especially those who study prophecy, they got that backwards. They're not looking for that blessed hope. They're not looking for Jesus Christ. They're looking for the Antichrist. There's so many books out there. Who is the Antichrist? Antichrist revealed. The secret name of the Antichrist. I mean, the Bible never tells us anywhere to look for the Antichrist. But we're told to look for who? Jesus Christ. Because he is the promise of our blessed hope. If you have a pen and paper, I want you to write down the trio of triplets. The trio of threes, or the trio of triplets. The three main events of Bible prophecy. The three main events of Bible prophecy are, number one, the rapture of the church, followed by, number two, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and number three, the great white throne judgment. Those are the trio of triplets, or the three main events of Bible prophecy: the rapture of the church, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the great white throne judgment. The rapture is the next main event on God's calendar that is imminent. Nothing has to be fulfilled before the rapture can take place, which means you can't a date or an hour on the rapture. And again, we have many Christians and so-called prophecy teachers that have done that and have violated that over and over and over again. God revealed to me the day now of the rapture. God revealed this to me. God revealed that to me. And then when that day came, nothing happened. Where are they today? Under a rock somewhere. When are we ever going to learn, folks? No man knows the day and the hour. Now, who said that? Not me, Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. So if Jesus Christ said, no man knows the day and the hour, who do you think you are trying to contradict Jesus Christ? It's wrong, folks. We don't know the day and the hour, but I believe we can know the times and the seasons. And that's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The rapture is in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. Now, all because the word rapture doesn't appear in the English Bible does not mean, folks, the doctrine is not there. And that was my point yesterday when my brother-in-law caught this article. And of course, he believes in the rapture, but he put this article on there with some so-called prophecy teacher was saying, the rapture doesn't appear in the Bible, so there ain't going to be no rapture. That's ridiculous. If I was to ask that same guy, do you believe in the Bible? Well, of course I do. Well, where do you find the word Bible in the Bible? But you believe the Bible. You believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, of course I do. You believe in the doctrine of the Trinity? Of course I do. Well, where do you find the word Trinity in the Bible? All because the word isn't there doesn't mean the doctrine's not there. Oh, demons. We all believe in demons. They're all over this planet today. That's why we're in such a mess. Satan is ahead of these demons. We all believe in demons, but can you find the word demon in the Bible? No, it doesn't appear in the Bible. But we know demons exist. The Bible calls them devils, plural. Demons. You know, where do we get the word rapture from them if it's not in the English Bible? Well, when Jerome in the 16th century translated the Bible into the Latin Vulgate, he translated 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Where it says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. The word caught up in the Latin is rapturo. Where we get the English word rapture, which means to violently seize or snatch away. So the word rapture does appear in the Bible, the Latin Vulgate translation of it. But in the English translation, like in our King James, that word caught up is the Greek word harpazo, where we get the English word harpoon. You harpoon something, then you reel it back in. Harpoon or harpazo has the same connotation as rapturo, to violently seize or to snatch away. That's the rapture of the church. So all because a word doesn't appear in the Bible doesn't mean the doctrine's not there. I mean, really, folks, just give me a break. So we know the trio of triplets, the first one is the rapture. The second one is the revelation of Jesus Christ, or what we would call the second coming of Jesus Christ. It happens after the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, or what it is commonly called the tribulation period. The rapture and the second coming are distinct, separated by a 70th period called the tribulation period. The rapture is when Jesus comes for his church. Second coming is when he comes back with his church, separated by a 7-year period of tribulation. The revelation or the second coming is recorded in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. And then the third trio of triplets would be the great white throne judgment. That happens 1,000 years later after the millennial kingdom reign of Jesus Christ comes to an end. This is the event when every unsaved, unregenerated, Christ-rejecting person will stand before Jesus Christ for judgment and then cast into their final destination, the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. So those are the trio of triplets, the three main events of Bible prophecy, the rapture of the church, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the second coming, or the revelation. But there are also three main books of Bible prophecy the three main books are the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, and the book of Revelation. The book of Daniel is a timeline for the Gentiles. The book of Ezekiel is a timeline for the Jewish people. And the book of Revelation is a timeline for Christians. Daniel deals primarily with God's program for the Gentile nations of the world, or in the Hebrew, the Goy, or Goyi. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel chapter 11 talks about God dealing in the future with these Gentile world powers. Daniel talks about the rise and the revival of the Roman Empire, which we believe today will be the European Union, and the ten horns, or a ten final nations to come out of that revived Roman Empire. So Daniel has a lot to say about that. The book of Ezekiel speaks of God's program and plan for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. The book of Ezekiel is divided into two sections, retribution and restoration. It's retribution to Israel, chapters 1 through 24, and it's retribution to Israel's neighbors, chapters 25 to 32. But it's also a book of restoration, the restoration of the Jewish people back in their own homeland, chapters 33 through 39, and the restoration of Jewish practices in the Millennial Kingdom, chapters 40 through 48. The book of Revelation is a timeline for Christians. The church is mentioned 25 times in the book of Revelation. The church is mentioned 19 times before Revelation 4:2, and 6 times after Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 10. That's before the tribulation period and after the tribulation period. But in between the 16 chapters of Revelation that deal with the tribulation period on earth, the church is not mentioned once as being on the earth at that time. So Revelation is a timeline for Christians. Ezekiel is a timeline for the Jewish people. And Daniel is a timeline for the Gentiles. Then there are three strands of the human family. This is how God looks at humanity and divides humanity among these three sections, these three categories. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 32, where Paul the Apostle said, "Give none offense to the Jew, to the Gentile, or to the church of God." That's how God divides humanity. The first strand of the human family are the Gentiles, Genesis chapters 1 through 11. The first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis deals with only Gentiles on the earth. No Jews, no Christians, just Gentiles. The first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Then we're introduced to the second strand of the human family, which would be the Jewish people. That's Genesis chapter 12 going all the way to Acts chapter number 1. The second strand of the human family. But the call of Abram from Ur of the Chaldees all the way to the land of Canaan. Abram was called a Hebrew. Even though Abraham was a Gentile, he was called a Hebrew. Hebrew simply means one who crosses over. Today it is a Hebrew language, what they say in Hebrew, Ivri. Abraham was called a Hebrew. His grandson Jacob was called Israel, Genesis 30-28. And his great-grandson Judah was called the first Jew, 2 Kings 16:6. The third strand of the human family would be Christian. This would be from Acts chapter 2 to Revelation 4:1. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost in keeping with Jesus fulfilling the first four Jewish feasts of Leviticus 23. Remember, he was crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, rose from the dead on first fruits, sent the Holy Spirit where? Not in Matthew 16, but in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. So those are the three strands of the human family: Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. There are four apocalyptic books of the Bible: Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, and Revelation. The phrase apocalyptic literature simply means that it uses symbols to communicate an absolute truth. Apocalypse is a Greek word apokalypsis, meaning a prophetic disclosure or revelation. The Word of God will use these symbols from these four apocalyptic books and interpret these symbols to communicate these truths. It is the Bible and the Bible alone that will interpret these fundamental truths. God will use His Word to interpret that absolute truth. When one takes these same symbols and give it their own interpretation or their own ideas, they get into doctrinal trouble. We call this eisegesis. It's a funny, fancy word, eisegesis. When you eisegete the text, what you are doing is that you are putting your own ideas, your own personal doctrine into the biblical text. Exegesis means taking the plain sense meaning out of the text. That's exegesis. Eisegesis means putting something into the text, your own ideas, your own interpretation. That's eisegesis in the text. That's wrong. Allegorizing or spiritualizing the scriptures is absolutely dangerous. Folks, all prophecy is contained within the Bible, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. There are no other prophecies outside the Bible, not in the Quran, not in the Book of Mormon, not in the Hindu verse, or any other so-called religious text out there today. All prophecy is contained within the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. There are no new revelations or modern-day prophecies today. If somebody tells you that God revealed to them new revelation or new prophecy, reject that person 100%. In Genesis chapters 1 through 3, the world then was under a theocracy. God himself ruled over his creation. But with the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, that theocracy changed into a Satanocracy. From Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 19, that is a Satanocracy. Right now as I speak, in the present, we are under a Satanocracy today. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The prince and the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. That's the reason why this world and mankind is in a mess today. But when Jesus Christ comes back at his second coming, he will put an end to that Satanocracy and once again implement a theocracy. That will be from Revelation chapters 20 through 22. A theocracy will once again be implemented. The good news is, folks, this isn't all going to go on forever. Jesus Christ will come back and put an end to these Gentile nations who will one day oppose him at his second coming, and he will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. What I'm going to do right now, folks, because we've only got a few minutes left, is take a few questions. One of them is from Joe. He's from Oklahoma, and he says, I've always wondered why God would release Satan after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, only to get rid of him again. Always been confused as why not get rid of him at his second coming? Why bound him to let him loose again? Thanks, Joe. Joe from Oklahoma. You know, Satan will be bound in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The Antichrist and the false prophet will be the very first two to be cast alive into a lake of fire. Satan is not cast into a lake of fire. God, in his sovereign will, puts him in the bottomless pit, shuts him up, set a seal on him for the duration of the 1,000 years. Now, why does God not choose to destroy him? That's God's prerogative. That's his choice. His sovereign will, his sovereign choice. End of the 1,000 years that God released the Satan out of the bottomless pit. Why does God set so? And it will be only then that Satan will be crushed, fulfilling Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 was already partially fulfilled when Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. but the 100% final death blow will come to Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth, in which he will finally cast them into a lake of fire. God can easily destroy Satan right now, but he chooses not to do so to show his sovereign will, to show that Satan is absolutely nothing but a liar, a murderer, and a deceiver. And God will show that at the very end of the millennial kingdom when he casts Satan into a lake of fire. Let's see if we can take another question here. It says, hi, Pastor Rosado. Do you ever look at the fallen of the World Trade Center as the whore in Bible End Times? For it did go down within an hour of the second strike, I believe. It was full of corruption and also had only the want of power and money. And the seven deadly sins that are at the center, for this is the whore in the end times. I would have to disagree with that statement. Revelation 17 and Revelation 18 has nothing to do with the World Trade Centers and the United States of America. Revelation 17 is very clear that there is a woman there. This woman is the false church who is in cahoots with the beast, in which she gets a piggyback ride on, according to Revelation 17 and verse number 3. All we're looking at here, with the question here, all we're looking at is what they would call, I'm trying to find the word they use in the court of law right now, circumstantial evidence. That's all that you're throwing at me right here is circumstantial evidence. It is not Bible. We know based on Revelation 17, verse number 9, who this woman is. The Bible even gives us a geographical location as to where this woman sits today. In Revelation 17, it says, here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sits. Clearly, folks, that's not the United States of America. That is Rome. Now, even though you may have some eerie parallels between her and what's going on in America today, based on Revelation 17:9, it is not the United States. So, folks, that's all the questions that we have that I'll be able to take for today. I hope you enjoyed our Bible Prophecy 101. Go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for our newsletter. They go out every single week. Type in your email address there, and we'll put you on the mailing list, and you'll start receiving our email single week. Also, if you are interested in any of our offers for our CDs, they're right there on my website. Just click on the PayPal, and you'll be able to order those CDs. Folks, we can use your prayers first and foremost, but we also need your financial support. If you can help support us in this ministry, again, go to my website, hit the PayPal button, and you'll be able to support us, whether it's weekly or monthly, whatever the Lord leads you to do. We can use your prayers and financial support to keep us doing what we're doing. Again, tomorrow I'll be preaching 10 a.m., 11 a.m. at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lawrence, Massachusetts. I hope you plan to come and join us if you live anywhere in the area. Folks, until next week, this is August Rosado saying keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. And remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.